Log Talk Radio.
We are into these historic investigations, intense study, most importantly, the application of our studies in our very lives. Something that you can truly believe in. not according to these politicians in this country or elsewhere we are dispersed around. My name is Yamsouf Arif, and this is Real Talk for Real People Study Show. Before we get started, and before I introduce my brother and friend from New York City, Cartrio, have you seen that brother on that Fox video? They thought they were broadside my brother, man. I don't think so. But before we get started, I want to mention Breonna Taylor and the family had reached a $12 million settlement. But what's important about this, historical, is in the sense, not only the family was looking out for Breonna, the family was looking out for the community. They tried to ensure there was intense police reform. And also, Attorney Crump mentioned one thing in his closing, that they released the peaceful protesters that were protesting on behalf of Breonna Taylor. Yes, we come a mighty long way. But it seems that we're getting better. Not only are we looking out for ourselves, but we're looking out for each other too. And that's commendable. But let me introduce my fellow host, Cartrell of New York City. Cartrell, before then we're going to get started. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, brother Yah. Suf Arim, may the Most High bless you, the family that's out there.
Thank you very much, brother. Hey, man, you're a bad mama jump.
You know, surprised the first day you watched that film.
I thought you were talking about some tape 2016, 18, 19. I ain't know it was some recent stuff.
Last year, January. I tried to warn them, brother, but they wouldn't give me a chance. They only gave me 8 minutes.
Look here. That guy came up there pumped us like he was the best thing since, like, I'm going to get this fella. And you look at, he couldn't put words in your mouth. You were going for that. Come on. Hey, they represent you. They represent. Hold on, partner. How you talking about they represent me? No more than the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazis and the skinhead. I like that. I like that rebuttal. Look here, Cadrea. He could have even said nothing. He could have even said nothing. You got
and
it.
And he came
bro.
Up with a stupid question.
Yeah, because he was stupid. Stupid is like Forrest Gump. Mama said, stupid is stupid does. And then certainly he did come up with a stupid question. All right, listeners.
But you know, Fox ain't never been the same ever since that interview, right?
I know it. They've been going down, 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 down. Well, curse those that curse me and bless me that bless me. Hey, Cartrell.
They wasn't trying to bless me, man. They wasn't trying to bless me.
He's trying to bless you. He's trying to bless you. He trying to
and
come
I went
at
down
you
with humility. Humility, right. Not arrogance, not pride, like we all is, and we superior. No, we the tail. Cool, calm, and
collected. Just like
and
the way I like it. Cool, calm, and collected, brother. Just like the way I like it.
But you see, he tried to rile me up, right?
Yeah, he did.
Through video clips of brothers on the street. And he's a young brother. And they have every right to be angry for what has been done to our people. Because anybody voicing truth and all that, and what they showed, the white lady being knocked down, they didn't show the whole video clip. She was an instigator. And she got up in their face.
Hey,
and the police arrested the lady they knocked down. I never saw any other video clip prior to going to that show that he was showing me.
Exactly.
So you asked me to make a judgment, and you just showed me clips of like three different clips, and you want me to make a snap judgment? No, that's not how it works, bro.
They think we stupid. That's their problem. Right. They think we stupid, we're gullible, and we're naive. But see, here's the deal. I'm just thank the Most High that I wouldn't, because I'd have went with you. And then I'd have sit down with you, we'd be sitting down, and the guy been asking you all them questions. He said, your name Yamsouf? I said, yeah, that's correct. It's Yamsouf. I'll read. What do you have to say on the matter? I said, my brother is speaking quite adequately on the matter. I'm just here to support him. I'm good. I would have typed brother. I ain't got nothing to say. My brother's doing an adequate job. I'm here to support him. And I'm good with what he's saying. And I concur with everything he said. And then some.
Y'all too. Yo. We take an hour and an hour and a half to explain what y'all is telling us in one chapter. He asking me to explain what it is to be an Israelite in 8 minutes. We got other guests coming on behind me.
Bro,
and then he's not even giving me a chance to answer any of his questions.
Yeah. He didn't want no answer from you. He just trying to broadside you. I seen the whole tape, bro. He come at you sideways. That man was trying to. Then he going to tell us who represents us. You have some audacity to tell me
and
who
how,
represents
how we
me.
See y'all.
Hey. But you came back with a good one, Cotrell. You came back with a good one when you told him, look here, let me ask you a question. Does the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazis and the skinheads represent you? He couldn't say nothing. I love that interview. I got to check that out again, Cotrell. I loved it.
Nah. Like, you know... I ain't trying to be out there on social media that.
No, you represent the Most High Good. You represent the Most High Good, man. That's why I'm digging on it. You wasn't trying to ego run amok. You would represent your nation in the Most High quite correctly. I'm digging it.
I'm going to tell you something about me, man.
Uh-huh.
I was born on the day we call Yom Teruah.
Right.
And Yom Teruah is the day of the blast of the horn.
Right.
And I'm introverted. I'm not out there like that. I'm a loner.
Right.
And
I'm a loner too. But I'm extroverted. But I'm alone. I love being alone. I love my books. I like interacting with people. But I'm gonna tell you one reason why I'm like that. when you're born in a household with 7 brothers and 5 sisters.
Right.
And you can't get a You can't carve out a space. You can't carve out peace. I relish my privacy. But when I'm out with the public, you know, I interact. I'm extroverted. You'll see when you see me. I'm extroverted. But that's a public face. But private face, I'm laid back. I'm a laid back kind of guy. You know, I laid back. You know, I'm cool. You know, I got my books. I got the Most High. You know, I'm good. I'm good like that. You know what I mean?
Well, they call me Maury Cotrell.
Uh-huh.
And most of time that title goes to people that lead camps and congregations.
Right.
And believe me, I never wanted to be a Maury. My father is the first Maury in New York City because he broke away from the rabbinical being rabbi traditions. Because that's what he came under. Rabbi Matthew, Rabbi Yemiyahu. We found out who we were. And we took it to the Judaic aspect, Black Jews. That's what we're calling ourselves. But my father, Maury Yosef, he's like, no, this is not our religion. This is who we are. We're the lost tribes of Israel, 12 tribes. This is our ethnicity and our nationality. This is not our religion. This is how we identify ourselves among the nations that we live amongst. Because other nations don't identify themselves after their religions.
Exactly.
So my father was the first man to break away from Black Judaism under Rabbi Matthew, who is very famous, who had contact with Haile Selassie. And my father was like a rebel because he's like, no, we're not Black Jews. We are the 12 tribes.
Right.
And he got a lot of rebuke from that. But now all of us are calling ourselves Israelites, like we all supposed to have known from the beginning. But no, we broke away from our captivity, slave names, because my father was a Roman Catholic. He wasn't just into Christianity. My father was a Roman Catholic.
Exactly.
Up in there with them bishops and them cardinals, be sleeping with little boys. That's what my father was.
Right.
And he broke away from that. He said, like, no.
Well, you know, I respect your father, and, you know, he transitioned. And I respect you. You're laid back. As I say, I always say, Cotrell, the Most High know how to put a Caleb and a Joshua together. And certainly in our case, we are a Caleb and a Joshua entities. We are not them. we're like that in so many ways. So he knows how to bring them together.
And Yah is my guy. And like Joshua and Caleb allowed Yah to guide them, and they didn't lean upon their own understanding.
Exactly.
Joshua is my model. Joshua is the greatest general in Israelite history.
Exactly.
He conquered nations that people couldn't conquer. Why? Because he followed Yah's command.
Truth be told. And you know, and people kind of think Caleb was a sidekick. Caleb was no sidekick. You remember they were.
Oh, no.
When they were distributing up the land, Caleb was 80-something years old. And Caleb said, hold on. I can get down with the get down. You know, whatever, whatever. Give me my land, and then I help you too. You know, so don't.
So Yamsu, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
It's like a trivia question.
Okay.
Who led Israel into the land of Caleb, into the land of Canaan?
Who led Israel into the land of Canaan? Well, that is a trick question.
No, it's not a trick question, because you said it, Joshua and Caleb, right?
Yeah, Joshua and Caleb.
After Moses led them out of Egypt, it was Joshua and Caleb landed them and conquered the land of Canaan, part of it at least.
Exactly. And it wasn't a trick.
What tribe was Caleb from?
Right. Yeah,
what tribe was Caleb from?
Caleb, memory serves me correctly. My thinker broke today. Which one was it, Cartrell?
Judah.
Oh,
Yehuda.
Yeah, okay. All right, my bad.
What tribe was Joseph from? I mean, Joshua from? I gave you the answer. What tribe was Joshua from?
Oh, Joshua. Now you
what
got me.
He, from?
He wasn't a Yehudite? He wasn't Judah?
No, he was Joseph.
He was Ephraim.
Ephraim, exactly.
Oh, that old man, that's powerful right there, brother. That's powerful. You had one tribe. You had Caleb representing the Yehuda, the Judites,
which
had the Benjamites and the Levites. Then you had You had Caleb.
Joshua.
Then you had Joshua representing the two tribes. So both tribes were represented by these two men.
Leading us into our land.
Exactly.
Judah and Joseph. Judah and Israel.
Exactly.
See, Joshua and Caleb.
That's why we do these intense studies, Cartrell. That's why these intense studies are important. These historical studies, not religious studies, people. I don't know who told you that. But we do have
history.
The Most High God of Abraham.
Right.
We do have the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we're not like the Baptists, the Episcopalians, the Lutherans, the Roman Catholics. No, because
it's a religion to them, and they don't see the history in it.
Right.
Because the book is a history book about Israel and their dealings with the other nations.
Exactly.
Because the Canaanites. Where did Canaanites come from?
Canaanites were part of they Shemites. They just like us.
No.
Okay.
What's Canaan?
Okay, Canaan came from Canaan came Joe. Okay, Shem, Ham. Canaan came out of Ham.
Yes.
Okay.
Canaan came out of Ham.
Exactly.
And what happened to Canaan? Did Noah curse him?
He cursed the Canaanites.
And they were Hamites.
Right.
So that's history.
That's history.
That's not mythology. That's not religion.
That's history.
Yes, it's history.
Well, let's get into some more history there, Cartrell, by all means. May the Most High bless you, listeners. Thank you, Cartrell. You're going to be back, and you know, you chime in. You know how we do it. You're listening to the Real Talk for Real People, intense investigatory study show to show us as a nation, we don't go back in history for a warm, fuzzy feeling. No, we don't do that. We go back to do a clinical analysis in our assessment to find who, what, where, we and our how, as to what got us in the situation we're in and how we can remedy that situation or rectify it. So let us travel on this historical journey together. Will you turn your books over to Bereshit? That's the first book. That's the Hebrew name for Genesis. That name is a Greek name. That's not the name we use. It's Bereshit. That's the Hebrew name, the beginning, the very beginning. And turn to chapter 17. Okay? I love these studies, Katriel. Don't you, brother? I love these studies.
No doubt. We learn more about ourselves and human nature.
Truth be told.
And our relationship right. with the Most High.
Truth be told. And we need it more so than ever with this madman they got and his death cut. Don't wear no mask.
He has no relationship with the Most High. Except the Most High using him as a puppet.
Yeah. And then look here.
To kill his own people.
Like I told you, bro, yesterday, these folks in the Anon, he an angel. And they certainly right. He's the angel of death for them. He's the angel of death. He's an
he's
angel.
He's worse than Jim Jones.
Yeah, man.
Donald
worse.
Trump is worse than Jim yeah, Jones. Worse. And he's on a worse path because he's about to take out a lot of his own people.
He don't care. He don't care about none of that.
But
he
we read that, right? We read that yesterday.
Yesterday
the leaders that want to be rich.
Yeah.
And they feed the flock for the slaughter.
For the slaughter.
They don't care about the flock.
No, they don't care nothing about them. And they look so gullible. And I just shake my head. I'm contrary, listeners. I just look at them folks in the audience with Trump. I just shake my head. Well, let's get started. Something much more important, okay? Listeners, may the Most High bless you by the reading, study, and most importantly, the application of his word into your lives. Chapter 17. When Abram, see, his name hadn't changed yet to Abraham. He's called Abram right now. When Abram was 99 years old, the Elohim appeared to Abram and said to him, I'm El Shaddai. Walk in my ways and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will make you exceedingly numerous. Abram threw himself on his face, and the Elohim spoke to him further. As for me, this is my covenant with you. You should be a father of a multiple of nations. You should no longer be called Abram. Now he's going to be called Abraham. But your name shall be Abraham. For I make you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fertile and make nations, and kings shall come forth from you. I will maintain my covenant between me and you, your offspring to come, as an everlasting covenant. Now, hold on. Now, why would the Most High lie? Just like some of these religions. The Most High is not fickle. Just like these religions. Oh, he just changed his mind. He brought in a new covenant. He just changed his mind. Snap, God, because he didn't do that. Hold on. Why would he lie to Abraham? The Most High had no reason to lie to Abraham because he's the Most High. He could have said, hey, I'm going to make a covenant. When your folk get wrong, I'm going to take that. I'm going to make something new. He ain't said nothing like that. See, y'all believe everything your enemies bring to you. Your enemies brought guns and wine and whatnot. You believe that. Oh, what you mean, Yum Sue? The enemy know everything. Yeah, he know everything wrong for you. And you believe everything that he's telling you. Especially when he brings a religion to you. And you think your enemy going to tell you anything right in the first place? Why would your enemy tell you anything right? You're his enemy. But you're so gullible. Every time they kill us, you get on national TV. I forgive you. Hold on. Wait just a minute. Let me tell you about that, brothers and sisters. About you. Y'all want to forgive folk all the time for everything. If you kill my daughter, you kill my mother, you kill my brother, you rape my children, And you want me to get on national news talking about I forgive you? Okay. Okay. Here's how I forgive you. The same way you raped my daughter, the same way you killed my mother and brother, I want you to do the very same thing to yourself, then go to my mother and brother and my daughter and tell them to forgive you. That's not, I'm not doing that. I'm not getting no, Jesus told me to forgive you. No, I'm not that kind of brother. Okay? No, I don't get out like that. See, that's why y'all need to study. Because your enemy brought you something that made you so passive that you just say anything, it don't even make no sense at all. You know, just like that woman killed that man in his own house. Went in his house, the police officer. And then they in the courtroom, they crying more than she crying in the family. And they didn't kill your brother. She didn't kill your brother. You crying in the courtroom. I forgive her. She killed my brother. And now they're trying to get her, let her get out of jail. Come on, man. Y'all need to quit it. That's why y'all need to study. That's why
and
y'all
that's
need
not
to
universal
quit.
Law.
Yeah. Crazy, man.
But we got to know, this chapter is saying a lot, even before you go on. The Most High said Abraham was 99 years old.
99 years old.
And Yah appeared to Abraham and said, I am Yah Almighty. He didn't say he was Jesus. He didn't say he was the Son of God. He didn't say he was the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He says, I am Yah Almighty. And he told him at 99 years old, walk before me and be blameless. So
right.
He came to him. He's at 99 years old. He said, continue to walk blameless. And I will make a covenant. A covenant is a bond. A covenant is an oath. A covenant is a contract. Right? And listen to this contract. Between me and you.
Exactly.
And I will multiply you exceedingly. Wait a minute. He's 99 years old. How are you going to multiply this man who's 99 years old exceedingly? And he just had a child by Hagar, and Sarah can't have no children. He got one son, and you're telling me you're going to multiply me exceedingly?
Exactly.
But this is what Yah can do.
Exactly.
And Abram, what did he do? He didn't question Yah. What did he do? He fell on his face. Like, wait, this is like too much. I can't really believe this.
Exactly.
And Yah said, Yah talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. Who's Yah's covenant with?
It's with
Abraham, our father. My covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of what? Many nations. You know, you got one son by Hagar, and Sarah ain't had a child yet.
Right.
No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abram, because Yah can do what he wants. He's going to take this 99-year-old man and make him the father of many nations.
Exactly.
You would think that he would take a young guy that's 25, 26, 30, 40 that could still have children and start with that, right?
Well,
so
y'all can
start
do
with a 99-year-old man.
Right. That's his prerogative. But, Contra, we forget? We forgot
that
the Ambassador Abraham and his son coming on. And so I think they're going to come on in about 30 more minutes, and we're going to give them the mic. We're going to try to get through chapter 17. And by the time
I'm sure they're not in a hurry. We got time. We in our bunkers.
Yeah.
We hiding so y'all boys wrap out. So we got time to chop it up. You know, we got time on this radio station, so we're going to let them explore. But this is so important because we're going back to our roots, our foundation. And Yah tells us to look to the rock from which we were hewn, to the hole of the pit from which we were digged, to Abraham our father and Sarah our mother. So we're doing an in-depth study of Abraham our father and Sarah our mother.
And we certainly need a contrail.
He's 99 years old, and Yah is making a covenant which shows he does miraculous things, which shows we are a miraculous people, which is why Yah hates us. I mean, other nations hate us.
Right.
Because why did the Most High choose y'all and not us? No, Yah created us out of these people here who were individuals in the midst of nations, yet they were obedient to Yah's commands. Are you willing to be obedient to Yah's commands? Because Yah will make you great. Yah will extend your life forever. He will make everlasting covenants with you. Because all things that Yah created that praise him and exalt him, he makes a contract with them to last forever. If you go in another way and you think about yourself, then you're in the wrong path.
Exactly.
So he's making everlasting covenant with Abraham. And think about this. Did Abraham have the law of Moses?
No. Mm-mm.
So how is Abraham getting an everlasting covenant without the law of Moses? When the Most High says...
Because he said so.
Right.
He said so. He don't need my approval.
So Abraham didn't have the law of Moses, nor did Isaac, nor did Jacob, nor did Joseph. And they were righteous men. Noah didn't have the law of Moses. And there is good and there is evil in the earth, which Yah showed. As we've read through the books of Genesis, Yah will judge you based whether or not you're doing right or whether you're doing wrong. That's why the flood came. That's why Cain was judged. That's why Adam and Eve was judged. That's why they were judged at the Tower of Babel, way before the law of Moses came, because there is in the earth and in the universe a thing called karma, a thing called law, a thing called good, a thing called evil. So,
and that's just that. And that's just that on that.
That's right. So the final judgment is coming. The first one was by the flood. And all nations better get it right before the final judgment, which everybody knows is coming. Judgment Day, they call it. Armageddon. And we know it's going to be by fire. And I was talking to Ema. And Yah describes himself as the potter and we the clay. So when a potter is forming something, how soft is the clay? The clay is real soft, right? Until the finished product. What does the potter do with the finished product? What does he do with it? He puts it through the fire.
Exactly.
To solidify it and make it hard.
Exactly.
So the final judgment, the final product of Yah's creation is going to be that fire. And you don't want to be the castaway clay that was too hard to mold.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, getting back to this. And I will establish my covenant between me and your descendants after you in their generation. So every generation of the seed of Abraham is tied to this covenant. Not just the children of Israel, because we think we're following Torah, but even Ishmael, because he's a descendant of Abraham, who had 12 nations. Most High included him too, right?
Exactly.
He said, you're going to be the father of how many nations? Many nations.
Exactly.
And we only one of many. And we think we're the only one. No, we're not the only one. The descendants of Abraham, who our father Abraham, he changed his name to be the father of many nations. Those nations have the same opportunity into this everlasting covenant just as much as we do.
Exactly.
And most of our people don't understand that because they think that we're the only one.
Because that's where lack of study comes in, brother.
Yes.
And he said, I assign the land you sojourn in to you and your offspring to come, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting holding. I will be there, Yah. That land's supposed to be out. It's an everlasting. It's perpetual.
And what's going to stop that? Who's going to break that? When Yah said it's going to be,
The Most High can put it in suspension.
Who's not going to say it's going to be everlasting and then change his mind and say it's not going to be everlasting?
Exactly.
That's not what he's saying here. He said he's going to be everlasting, regardless of what you do or what you think you could change it. When he says it's going to be everlasting, when he spoke, everything came into existence. So he says it's going to be for everlasting. You can't change that.
Okay. Hey, I got a note from Tahiria.
Uh-huh.
She said the ambassador and his son have to reschedule and come on tomorrow for the whole 2-hour slot. Okay?
Okay, no problem.
Okay. All right. Let us continue in our studies. Yah further said to Abraham, as for you, you and your offspring to come throughout the ages shall keep my covenant. Such shall be the covenant between me and you, you and your offspring to follow, which you shall keep.
So it's not the law of Moses, but it's the covenant, Abraham, that we're supposed to keep.
Exactly.
because we're supposed to keep the law, the Torah, in the land that he promised to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not in the lands that we've been scattered to.
Exactly.
So we tied to this covenant way before we tied to the Torah.
Exactly.
And a lot of Israelites, they think that the Torah comes first before this covenant.
Exactly. And it says, me and you and your offspring to follow, which you shall keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and that should be the sign of the covenant between me and you. That circumcision of the foreskin. Throughout the generations, every male among you shall be circumcised at the age of 8 days. As for the homeborn slave and the one brought from outside who is not of your offspring, they must be circumcised, unborn and persons alike. Thus my covenant be marked in your flesh, that circumcision, as an everlasting pact. If any male who is uncircumcised fail to circumcise the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his kin. He has broken my covenant, that covenant of the circumcision. And Yah said to Abraham, as for your wife, Sarah, you should not call her Sarah. Her name shall be Sarah. I will bless her. Indeed, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she shall give rise to nations, rulers of people shall issue from her. Abraham threw himself on his face and laughed. And he said to himself, can a child be born to a man 100 years old? Or can Sarah bear a child at 90? She's 90 years old. Man, what is y'all talking about? And Abraham said to Yah, but even then he's questioning, even though he's questioning, he's following orders. He's following orders so much, he's looking out for his son, his other son. Oh, that Ishmael might live by your favor. I got to look out for him too. Yah said, nevertheless, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall name him Isaac. I will maintain my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring to come. But as for Ishmael, I have heeded you. I hereby bless him. I will make him fertile and exceedingly numerous. He shall be the father of 12 chieftains, 12 nations. I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will maintain with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this season, this time next year. And when he was done speaking with him, Yah was gone from Abraham. Then Abraham took his son Ishmael and all of his homeborn slaves and all those he had bought, every male in Abraham's household, and the covenant, the circumcision of the flesh of their foreskin on that very day, as Yah had spoken to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he circumcised the flesh of his own foreskin, and his son Ishmael was 13 years old when he circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, although the covenant wasn't with him. Thus Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised on that very day, and all of his household, his homeborn slaves, and those who had been bought from outsiders were circumcised. All the males in that household were circumcised. The covenant of the circumcision. Katra, your comments, brother.
You said Ishmael wasn't under the covenant. Yes, he was under the covenant, even though he circumcised himself at 13 years old. Everybody that circumcised themselves was under the covenant.
Exactly.
No matter what age you were, Abraham was 99, Ishmael was 13. Yah said do it in 8 days. But all of Abraham's seed had to do it. Why? Because of this everlasting covenant. It's not just Yisrael. Mosiah chose the seed of Yisrael. but all of Abraham's seed, which he is the father of many nations, are under this covenant, not just us.
Exactly.
So,
all right.
That's the clarity we need to know and understand.
That
is, the Most High didn't single us out as the one nation that's going to be under this everlasting covenant. Otherwise, Yah will be a liar. You only made one nation. How is Abraham the father of many nations that's not under this covenant? And we the only one? No, we're not the only one.
Right.
We got a special place with Yah as his intricate servants, but all of our family of the seed of Abraham, whatever nation they come from, are under this covenant.
Exactly.
So you can't abhor Esau, you can't abhor, you know, people that you don't even know and think that you're the only one that's exclusive with Yah's blessings.
Exactly.
Otherwise, it don't make sense that he would make Abraham the father of what? Many nations.
Many nations.
Okay. What that mean to you? You mean one nation, Israel? No, it don't mean one nation, Israel. It doesn't.
Well, you know what they're going to say about that, some people.
I don't care what they're going to say. You arguing with Yah, because we reading it right here. It don't just say the nation of Israel. It says many nations. Sarah's the mother of many nations. Abraham got his name changed to be the father of what? Not just the one nation of Israel.
I'm going to play the devil's advocate because they're going to say, well, they ain't circumcised. They ain't circumcised.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Me and you talk about Joshua and Caleb all the time, right?
Right.
Do you know that when they went into the land of Canaan, the warriors had to circumcise themselves?
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Hold on. Stop the press. So, I see where you're coming from. I see where you're going. I see where you're going, bro. But can the listeners
really?
See where you're going? Yeah, I can see where you're going, bro. I can see where you're going. And it's crystal clear.
Tell me where I'm going.
It's going. See, when we do go back to where we going to go back, if you ain't, you're going to get that opportunity. Yeah, I feel you, bro. I see where you're coming from. I see it.
So break it down like we're 4 years old, where I'm coming from, because I'm about to break it down if you don't.
Okay. When we go back to the land, the Most High said, I'm going to clean you up. Not only us, other nations too. And in that cleaning up process, what you ain't got, you need to get, you're going to be able to get it. It's just that simple.
So I think you missed it, because what I'm talking about is when Joshua and Caleb had control.
Right.
After Moses left the scene.
Right.
When they went over to Jordan, do you know they had to circumcise themselves?
Exactly.
When you supposed to circumcise yourself?
At 8 days.
You talking about warriors going to land they wasn't circumcised? That means they missed the mark, didn't they?
Exactly.
Which means they had the law of Moses in their hand when they was going into the land of Canaan, yet they were not circumcised. How can that be?
Yeah.
Their parents should have circumcised them at 8 days old. They got it firsthand from Moses, right? They were in their captivity, bro.
Okay.
They wasn't in captivity. They was in the wilderness.
They were in the wilderness. 40 years. But before
40 years.
Right.
And the children that were going in there were like 20 years old.
Right.
When Moses told them, you need to circumcise yourselves, because that's the first time they're hearing it.
Right.
When your child is 8 days old,
right.
You got warriors going to over to Jordan and they're not circumcised.
So they didn't do what they were told.
No, they didn't do what they were told when they had the law fresh off the press.
Right.
That's why they didn't go in. You didn't circumcise your children like I told you to do at 8 days old. And now they're going in to conquer the Jordan, across the Jordan, and they're not circumcised.
Right.
How can that be? So they had to circumcise themselves.
Exactly.
the Warriors that went with Joshua. So we hard-headed, we stiff-necked, and we don't listen to y'all's commands. And we don't follow them, which is why their parents didn't make it in. Nah, you're not going to make it because you're not listening to me. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all want to go back into Egypt. Y'all building golden calves. And I'm talking to you direct, face-to-face.
So what's going to happen to some of our brothers that's trying to go back, name circumcised going back on this land?
They got a problem because they're not under the covenant of Abraham.
Exactly.
And that's the most important thing, even before the Torah that Yah gave to Moses.
Exactly.
Are you under the covenant of Abraham, first and foremost?
Right.
Because Abraham wasn't following Moses' law, but he got an everlasting covenant, didn't he?
Exactly.
Him and his descendants.
So I guess those other nations are going to be in real big trouble then.
Well, there's going to be other nations around.
Right.
Especially the descendants of Abraham. The
right.
Most High gave us strict rules. Why? Because he said, I dwell in the midst of you, Israel.
Right.
He magnified himself with us when we came out of Egypt. We was crying, and Yah came and got us.
Mm-hmm.
So now he said, I'll make a pact with you.
Right.
Sons of Jacob. That's why we call him the Most High, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We don't call him the God of Moses. Do we call him the God of Moses?
Nope.
Why don't we call him the God of Moses, and we're so focused on the Torah, the law? It wasn't the law. It was the everlasting covenant, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who the everlasting covenant was passed down to.
Right.
And the covenant is in your geed when you get circumcised at 8 days old.
Right.
That puts you under the everlasting covenant forever. It's not the law of Moses. It's this covenant that Yah is making with Abraham.
Exactly.
Because Abraham didn't have the law of Moses, but he was a righteous man. Isaac didn't have the law of Moses, but he was a righteous man. There's good and evil in the earth from the beginning of time.
Exactly.
The law that the Most High gave Moses was specific so that he could dwell in the midst of our nation. And that's what most of our brothers don't understand.
Exactly.
We think that good and evil came with us coming out of Egypt, and he gave us the laws to right what's wrong in the earth. No. Most High made judgment long before he gave the laws to Moses. He judged the earth in Noah's time. He judged Adam and Eve. He judged the people at the Tower of Babel. He judged the people at Sodom and Gomorrah. So judgment was in the earth. Good and evil was always in the earth. But he gave us the law, the Torah, to make us a holy people so that we not could go to heaven, but that he could come to earth and be in our midst.
Exactly.
As a holy people. And the holy and the profane can't dwell together, which is why he gave us specific what we can eat, what we, you know, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves to be a holy, upright people. But that's a higher dimension that we don't understand because we're trying to bring accolades to ourselves when we don't understand the fullness of the Most High's plan. The other nations hate us because Yah chose us. But we the tail, and everybody's stepping on us. Would you want to be us? I don't think so, but we are the chosen, and we had to go through this to show you that Yah is just. You can't just do what you want to do even though I chose you. No, you have to do what I tell you, what I command you to do, like everything else in creation that I command to do. And we don't understand the commandments, you know, different from the law. But I'm rambling.
Okay. Well, let us go and finish up then. Well, no, let us go on to the book of Zechariah, the 10th chapter of Zechariah. No, we ain't 10. I'm looking at the wrong book because I read out of two study books. Let me turn this study book to the 12th chapter, the 12th chapter of Zechariah. May the Most High bless you, listeners, by the reading, study, and most importantly, the application of His Word in your lives. The burden of the word of the Elohim against Israel. Thus saith the Elohim, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding people. When they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, it shall happen in that day that I shall make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all people who would have heaved it away would surely be cut in pieces. Though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. And that day, says the Elohim, I will strike every horse with confusion, every nation, his riders with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Yehuda. I will strike every horse of the people with blindness, every house of the people with blindness. And the governors of Yehuda shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength. And the Elohim of hosts, their God. In that day, I will make the governors of Yehuda like a fire pan in the woodpile, like a fiery torch in the sheaves. They shall devour all the surrounding people on the right hand and on the left. But Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in our own place, Jerusalem. A coming futuristic time, and it certainly is coming. And in that time, the Elohim will save the tents of Yehuda first, so that the glory of the house of Dawood, King Dawood, and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall become greater than that of Yehuda. In that day, the Elohim will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like King David. And the house of King David shall be like the Elohim, like the angel of the Elohim before them. It shall be in that day I will seek to destroy all nations that have come up against Jerusalem. And unfortunately, I will pour out the house of King David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me, whom they pierced, the Most High. Yes, they will moan for him as he moaned for his only son, which is Israel. And Yehuda, Jacob, and grieve for him as one grieves for his firstborn. He's speaking about us in the singular term. Not Jesus. And that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem, like a mourning at Hadad Ramon, in the plain of Megiddo, and the land shall mourn. Every family by itself, and the family of the house of King Dawood by itself, and their wives by themselves, and the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, and the family of the house of the Levites by itself, and their wives by themselves, and the family of Shemot by itself, and the wives by themselves, and all the families that remain, every family by itself, and their wives by themselves. Your comments on that, Cartrell?
Well, the last part that you read was the path, because all this morning went on.
Right.
We lost our kings, we lost our priests, we lost our prophets. But the first part of what you read
is the futuristic.
Yes, it's the future. Yah will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of King David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. In that day, Yah shall defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like King David, and the house of King David shall be like Elohim, like the angels of Yah before them. It shall be in that day that they will seek to destroy all the nations that come up against Jerusalem. And we know there's like peace talks in Jerusalem right now, peace talks in the Middle East right now. Trump congratulated himself, but what they're putting forth is not what y'all's talking about.
No.
And these nations are battling for Jerusalem, whether it be Esau, whether it be Ishmael, and it doesn't belong to either one of them. So these are futuristic prophecies that the Most High is talking about. And he's talking about bringing forth the royal house, the royal seed of the king of Israel first, in the tribe of Judah. And we know that the Jewish man doesn't have a royalty. He doesn't have a royal seed. He has a parliament and a democratic nation. And we're not a democratic nation. We don't have a parliament. We have kings. We have royal blood. We have royal seed. And that's what we're looking for. That's the Most I was talking about. So if you ain't a descendant of King David, King Solomon, or any one of the sons of King David, and you fronting like you Israel, talking about you Judah, and you don't have a royal seed, then we know that you're imposters. Because where's your royal seed? Where is the royal seed of the house of Yehuda from the house of King David, which the Most High explicitly talks about?
Exactly. Well, Cottrell, well, listeners, we will continue on in our studies. I know Cottrell had a wonderful song for us, because all of them are wonderful. And we're looking forward to listening.
Yes, sir. Because we know that our kings, especially King David, King Solomon, had great wisdom, leading us to the path of the Most High. I think we're on Psalm 58, if I'm correct. Is everybody with me? We're on Psalm 58.
Okay.
Another Psalm of King David. This one's entitled "The Just Judgment of the Wicked." Hallelujah. Give praise and thanks to our King, King David, whose heart the Most I love, because he was attached to the spiritual aspect of what it is to be connected with the Most High. It says, "Do you indeed speak righteousness, you silent ones? Do you judge uprightly, you sons of men? No! In heart you work wickedness. You weigh out the violence of your hand in the earth. The wicked are ensnared from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf cobra that stops the ear, which will not heed the voice of charmers, charmers ever so skillfully. Break their teeth in their mouth, O Elohim. Break out the fangs of the young lions, O Yah. Let them flow away as waters which run continually when he bends his bow. Let his arrows be as if cut off in pieces. Let them be like a snail which melts away as it goes, like the stillborn child of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pot can feel the burning thorns, he shall take them away, as with the whirlwind, as in his living amongst burning wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance." Do we see the vengeance? I guess not. "He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely he is Elohim who judges the earth." So we see Yah's judgment being poured out on the earth. We see the fire. We see the whirlwinds. We see Yah's burning wrath. And this is only the beginning. So I say, brace yourself, Yisrael, because Yah is beginning to pour his wrath out on all mankind. It says the righteous shall rejoice when he sees Yah's vengeance. And that's what we're witnessing now. We got fires in California. We got hurricanes brewing up on the Atlantic Ocean. We got the Gulf Coast being hit by a hurricane. And not to talk about coronavirus and how Yah has shaken things up. So we in a time of judgment, and we have to find that shelter, that refuge, that place that protects us from the wrath of Yah. And that's what we're trying to bring to our people, because we're right in the middle of it, the beginning of it. And the more we learn, the more we know, the more we will be sheltered. Because Yah is our shield and our buckler, our high tower, our defense, and we have to obey his commands.
Well, it's just that simple, now, isn't it? We try to make everything hard, Katria. Just that simple.
Oh, yeah. Well, we hard at it, we stiff neck it. And we got to change that.
Exactly. Well, listeners, you've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People Investigatory Intense Study Show. We hope something that we studied together may enlighten you, that you will apply it to your life so you can see things the way they should be. Cartrell, my brother and friend, you got any closing remarks?
I just want to give thanks and praise to Most High Yah for opening up our eyes, because the more I look, the more I see that there's a lot of people with veils on their eyes and they really don't see what's going on. But if you have a spiritual eye, you can see that the Most High has brought his judgment to the earth, and that what we're reading here in the scriptures, trying to unveil what the truth is, we see that Yah shows us with a clear vision that human nature is the same. You reap what you sow. And America is reaping what it sowed. The nations are reaping what they sowed. And we just have to be a part of Yah's plan in following the path of righteousness, uprightness, truth, and justice.
Well, Cardrell, as you always said, you said a mouthful there. Listeners, thank you for tuning in to the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. You know, we're not going to have a show tomorrow, so, but we'll have a show in the sense we won't have a study show tomorrow. But we'll have a show in the sense of promoting the endeavors of Ambassador Abraham and his son. So tune in. Bring your pen and your paper. Let's listen up and let's support one another. May the Most High bless you, listeners. Let him direct and order your steps and stop leaning to your own understanding. Why? Because your thinkers are broken. Trust in the Most High, and how can you do that? By these intense investigatory studies and applying it to one's life. Because leaning to our own understanding, as we can see, is not working for us. It's working entirely against us. Because sometimes what you don't know can hurt you. That's why it's important to do these studies. Thank you again, Cartrell. Thank you, listeners. May the Most High bless you. And shalom.
Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. Her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I made a mess of the life I had with you, in search of something new. Now I find myself falling down on brown. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. but now I know it was just brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. Her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. A love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass.